Hi everyone. Today it's my pleasure to welcome Thomas Perfumo, Kraken's Head of Strategy and Team Lead for Kraken Intelligence. Thomas joins me to talk about their most recent report, the 2021 Year in Review. He discusses some of the major themes from 2021, from DeFi to NFTs to institutional and state-level adoption, and attempts to put 2022 into some context for us. I hope you enjoy the show. Please note that this podcast does not constitute financial product advice. You should consider obtaining independent advice from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. Thomas, thanks so much for joining me on today's episode. I'd love you to tell me a little bit about, you know, your background, what you've done before and how you arrived in crypto land.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I've been with Kraken for just over 4 years now. Prior to joining Kraken, I used to work in the investment management industry. So I worked for a hedge fund, and my expertise is in special situations, public equities, which is basically another way of saying things around mergers and acquisition, tender offers, basically non-fundamental events. I was a generalist, so I covered pretty much every industry under the sun, from renewables, nuclear fusion, utilities, even things like coal industry, et cetera. So had a ton of exposure to all these different industries and decided in 2017 to jump in the crypto space, particularly to build more operating experience working for a company that made actual products and services and not spending all day, you know, being a spreadsheet wizard. I first got introduced to the crypto industry in 2013. And that was when I bought my first Bitcoin and played around with the blockchain for the first time. I was introduced by a good friend of mine from high school. And a couple of reasons why I just became so personally interested in it had to do with, one, it was an intersection of a lot of disciplines that I love. So academically, I majored in finance and mathematics, and I had a love for markets in general, particularly equities. And crypto really is the intersection of all those disciplines. Very mathematical, very technical, but also has this great markets component. And then just philosophically speaking, you know, I have family who doesn't live in the US. My parents are immigrants. And so I have also a pretty good appreciation for their personal experiences with living in countries where they suffer from high levels of inflation. And so for me, even from a political and personal standpoint, I saw a lot of the value in cryptocurrencies. And so that's the quick genesis of my crypto moment and why I joined Kraken.
it's really excellent to hear you talk about that. And, you know, I think, you know, your role in the business, it might be worth just explaining a little bit, you know, what you're doing on our side, and then we can jump into some of the stuff that we've been, the amazing reports you guys have been producing.
Sure. So right now I head the strategy team, and I also oversee our public-facing research group that we call Kraken Intelligence. Super fun. I've had the privilege of working on so many different projects here at Kraken. Back when I started earlier on, it was a much smaller company, and so true to the concept of being a startup, I wore many hats. I worked on everything from strategy to investor reporting, and also helped build out some of the data stuff, especially around external data analytics. So been around the block, but right now definitely focused on strategy, particularly long-term strategy. And as I mentioned, the Kraken Intelligence research team, where we publish a lot of awesome content on a daily, monthly, and ad hoc basis when it comes to deep dive reports.
Well, I'd love to jump into one of those reports. And, you know, we're in the start of 2022, and you guys have done a kind of year in review report that was published quite recently. 2021, it was a very interesting year in crypto. I've talked about it a lot with different people, and there's been so many threads. And I think this report kind of drags a lot of that together in a really meaningful way. I'd love you to give the listeners a bit of a overview of what, you know, you guys saw, and then we can maybe dive into some of the detail.
Yeah, it's really colored, I think, by just the past several years. So I would say the major highlight in my perspective about 2021 had to do with adoption of cryptocurrencies outside of the store of value thesis. And so really we're talking about layer one protocols like Solana, like Ethereum, like Polkadot. And when I think about historically, especially over my tenure here, each year kind of has its own theme. So, you know, 2017 through 2020, you've gone through waves like institutions, retail adoption, stable coins, derivatives, DeFi. And so when I look back to 2020, it was really the first innings of DeFi and then the narrative shift around crypto as a money in the context of just massive, unprecedented stimulus, both fiscal and monetary. And 2021, I think, was just the turbocharge against all these different applications that have been getting built within the cryptocurrency space over the past 3-4 years. And so just to give you some thoughts on this, you know, in DeFi, we went from total value locked or collateral in these smart contracts from something around 10 billion to 200 billion plus. Stable coins going from about 30 billion to 145 billion plus. Incredible amounts of like governance wars that we saw play out where entire projects were dedicated towards trying to take advantage of other projects and amassing a number of tokens and voting on different proposals. So you had this just beyond the asset performance over the year, this just massive adoption by different people of all these different services. And, you know, we can obviously talk about NFTs as a different topic, but yeah, I would say the broad theme that I saw over the course of 2021 was just the growth and extension of all these different things that have gotten built out in the last 3 or 4 years, but just on a turbocharged level. And it's been really awesome to see.
Yeah, I think you're right that some of these ideas in the DeFi side were not necessarily super new. There was really innovative things that were rolling, you know, through the system, but a lot of the groundwork had been laid earlier. And this was you know, expansive growth on top of some of that groundwork, right? And were there any, okay, so you pulled out stable coins there. What were some of the drivers, do you think, behind some of the growth in these different little sub-segments of DeFi?
I think they're all interrelated in many different ways. So for example, perhaps someone wants to go ahead and purchase an item and they need a stable coin to do it, but they don't want to sell their crypto like Ethereum or Bitcoin, for example, and they'd rather use it as collateral. So they might go take out a DeFi loan against that collateral on Maker or Aave or some other platform, and then take that stablecoin and go use it however they'd like on a different platform. You know, the concept of yield farming also comes into play there. And so again, all of these different components are related in many different ways. And, you know, when I think about, I think the stablecoin growth really does underpin a lot of this because stablecoins, we saw a big uptick in growth in stablecoins around in connection and in correlation with just upticks in total collateral in the system. So when we're thinking about derivatives, for example, the size of the derivatives market, and all the collateral that went into it, and also trading volume. And during this year, we saw just massive, massive growth in stablecoins. And a lot of it was fed because you needed some form of collateral to go into these smart contracts. In many cases, you need a stablecoin to interact with these smart contracts because you need to have crypto to do it. And of course, stablecoins are one way to get there. And so whether that's a DEX, a DeFi, or going to purchase an NFT, you know, I think the broad signal here from the stablecoin side is just an influx of dollars and fiat assets into the crypto industry to be used in different formats.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Okay, cool. Why don't we pivot across to NFTs? You just mentioned them, and then maybe we can kind of roll into looking at 2022 and some headwinds. But NFTs, that was also called out in the report. What happened here?
I mean, I think we all saw it was really this explosion in creativity and expression in community building, certainly a big speculative wave built around it. But I think it's fascinating to see how NFTs took off at the same time that you had a lot of meme coins take off. And even things like GameStop and AMC and traditional markets, just this concept of community. And with NFTs, I what's really super awesome is that you had a lot of people who were crypto curious, or perhaps they never even really cared for crypto, but they saw the application of NFTs and the financialization of different creative works and expression as like a reason to become interested in the crypto industry. And so you had tons of people who never touched crypto, celebrities, sports teams, brands, right, touching crypto for the first time in a way of touching a different consumer group that's really focused on expression. And so you just had this huge amount of community developed around these tokens, and obviously a lot of press and interest from people who create content, generally speaking. And so, yeah, NFTs, I think this concept, of course, has been around for a long time. I want to say certainly for 5+ years. I've owned some NFTs since 2017, just like CryptoKitties, for example. But yeah, this was the year where you just had millions, perhaps even tens of millions of people come into the industry for the first time to find another outlet for expression, and NFTs was the way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I guess our view is that that's just the beginning when it comes to this this new arena, that the artistic and I guess kind of collectible side of it is definitely one thing. You know, profile pics and whatnot, and we've seen Twitter add some functionality around that, and so that's becoming quite mainstream. The understanding that, okay, yeah, well, and controversial as well, perhaps, but that, you know, NFTs are a way of doing digital imagery or video or art. But then there's the other side of this where I saw a lot of growth, which was in the broader use of non-fungible tokens in the crypto space. More, you know, I mean, I even saw them used in DeFi. That idea. And in the end, it's an umbrella term, so it's a massive area. But gaming is the other thing that kind of sticks out to me as a huge growth area for the market, and will do something similar, which is bring new people and a whole, you know, a first time basis, perhaps, you know, to crypto.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you. I think the incredible part about NFTs is really just how extensive they can be. You can truly reach so many different addressable markets, gaming just being the tip of the iceberg here. And so super interesting to see. I think for me, and I'm not someone who's very much participating in a lot of the speculative activity. I bought some forms of digital art that I personally just like to look at. But I think what to me really strikes me as interesting when I think longer term and strategically, it's seeing what this wave of NFT development is going to bring into adjacent parts of the industries. And I think there's going to be a lot of touch points in the crypto. And I think the quick summary is metaverse, right? I think it's not, to me, it's not a secret or confusing as to why Facebook chose this year to, or excuse me, 2021 as the year that they decided to invest a tremendous amount of money, resources, and even rebranding around this metaverse concept. I think it really did follow this explosion in NFT interest and the many billions of dollars that are now backing so many different startups that are developing software, services, materials, ways of interaction and expression that are going to underpin everything metaverse. And so for me, that is what I'm focused on in the context of NFTs, is how do all these NFTs disrupt things in a decentralized manner and in an interoperable manner across gaming, identity, etc. It's going to be really, really fun.
And I guess the other thread there, I mean, metaverse and Web3 more generally, you know, new rails for you know, I mean, digital and economic infrastructure that's built using blockchain and crypto, it will start permeating, I think, into more and more industries, which is yeah, quite a fascinating prospect. Okay, now So as a wrap, I think maybe it's worth just pulling out some of the headline numbers, if you have them handy, on where, you know, we got to in 2021 versus maybe some prior years. And then I'd like to kind of jump into, what you're looking at for 2022. We're in a time of pretty significant volatility as we record this podcast. That's not unusual for the space, but I think, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there that are, you know, reassessing their views because they might have come into crypto recently. And so That's challenging for some, but yeah, we'd love to get your view on what you see as the macro trends that will roll into 2022 and where the market and where the industry is going.
Yeah, so I think some of the highlight data points, and of course there's tons more in the report that we call Crypto in Review 2021 Going Mainstream. But you know, I think the leading metrics that people like to look at and tend to be a pretty strong signal economically would be just market signals or market metrics. So for example, during the year, the market finishing up close to 200%, which was compounded off of a 300% growth in asset values during 2020. So just massive outperformance. You know, a lot of people like to harp on the fact that Bitcoin, Ether, and other cryptocurrencies fell significantly from their November all-time highs or thereabouts over the course of the remainder of 2021. But really have to put that in context. Crypto vastly outperformed other traditional assets like equities, bonds, etc. And true to the comment I mentioned earlier about smart contract platforms, layer ones, etc., let's call them altcoins, far outpaced Bitcoin in this context. So altcoins as a category returned over 500%, whereas Bitcoin returned 60%, and the dominance of Bitcoin fell from 70% to 40%. So you had this just massive spread of value to these different platforms. And it, again, to the earlier point, it followed a lot of the application exposure to NFTs, DeFi, etc. So we mentioned some statistics around DeFi and stablecoins. NFTs, of course, becoming a multi-billion dollar industry itself, billions of dollars worth of sales volume, millions of people interacting in the NFT space at this point. And then just in terms of adoption, you know, you saw tremendous growth on in terms of just active usage of these different platforms. So Ethereum having over 20 million live addresses on the platform. MetaMask reporting over 20 million monthly active users, transaction fees skyrocketing, all indicators of very significantly strong adoption, including from people who just entered crypto for the first time. And then lastly, another highlight that I like to point out would be a tremendous amount of growth in terms of institutions, particularly corporations and even countries getting involved with crypto. And in this case, Bitcoin in particular, because it is considered an alternative form of money rather than more application-based like Ethereum. But nearly 7% of Bitcoin supply is now held in corporate treasuries like MicroStrategy, Square. And you saw the interest around El Salvador now creating crypto as a legal tender and again, becoming one of these early adopters. So really just tons of big news and events. Yeah.
Relentless.
And yeah, it's endless. I could go on and I'll stop there because I could really spend the entire time on this.
No, but I think that's really true for 2021 is that you just had wave after wave of extremely significant, I think, moments. And perhaps that's what's, you know, obviously that drove market sentiment, no doubt. But also perhaps people are kind of, you know, the reality versus the hype is something that we always have to come to terms with in emergent spaces. And so, you know, these are long-term projects. A lot of these the announcements that we saw last year, you know, were the start of something, not the end. So yeah, it's been quite an amazing year from a headline news point of view. Okay, cool. Well, you know, what then sticks? What's 2022 look like and where can we see the space? I mean, we've talked a little bit about that we're going to see deeper adoption in some of these arenas, but are there any major macro trends that you think will impact and what are some of the things you're looking out for?
I think, well, I know off the top of my head three things that I'm really interested in seeing in addition to what I mentioned around metaverse, because that's obviously going to be something that I'm tracking closely. But the other three, let's go firstly with just market in general. So this year is setting up, obviously, to be a pretty challenging year from a macroeconomic standpoint, just at the very broadest level. We're talking continued significant uncertainty around economic conditions, the uncertainty around monetary policymakers, central banks deciding whether they're going to cut or raise rates, TBD still. And I think there's a lot of debate over, especially in the United States, over whether we're going to have several rate hikes And that will obviously put pressure on just asset categories in general. So we're seeing a lot of choppiness in equity markets, and bond markets, et cetera. And it will bleed into crypto markets, likely. So in the short run, I'm thinking about the impact of the macro economy on the crypto markets. And that does have some trickle down impacts to development and whatnot on the crypto side. Secondly, regulation. So you can't have growth the way that we've seen it over the last 2 years without attracting further interest from regulators, particularly in such an underdeveloped, from a legal standpoint, industry. And crypto as a multi-trillion dollar asset class has already for years now stoked or interest from legislators and whatnot to take a closer look. And 2017 brought it about, but then with the bear market, people kind of forgot about it. And I think policymakers are starting to realize that they can't ignore it anymore. It's like time to bring clarity to the industry. And, you know, we're all about trying to introduce supportive regulation to the industry and working with regulators. And so hopefully that plays out nicely, but that's something I can't even put an estimate on or what that would look like. And, you know, I think, you know, as far as another kind of major area of interest for me is going to be just the ongoing development of DeFi and adoption within it, just the services and the creativity that we're seeing with different applications getting built. I want to see more adoption from more people within the industry. And so there's going to be a lot of on-chain indicators that we're continuously looking on to identify whether we're seeing that kind of adoption grow over time.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely a big one. And from my point of view, you know, the degree to which traditional institutions start making use of DeFi, right? And DeFi being just becoming, I don't want to use the word subsumed, but becoming another place for, day-to-day business, you know, for mainstream financial institutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the reasons why I find DeFi so interesting is because, and I'm guilty of this too, we tend to, I think, over-index on the comparisons of DeFi versus first world access to financial services. And, you know, when you see just like the tremendous amount of impact that certain services are having to people in second and third world countries where they might not have had access to these kinds of things, it's totally different playing field. And I think for the crypto industry broadly, to the extent that we can elevate and grow just the wealth in the broadest spectrum of people and not focus so much on single markets, really being much more big picture focused, billions of people trying to build adoption to that kind of billion number is going to be fascinating to see. And I think DeFi really has the potential to do that to the extent that more people start to take a look at non-sovereign forms of digital value and participating in the applications.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Thanks so much for your time, Thomas. I encourage everyone who's listened to the show to go to kraken.com and you can get the report from our blog. It's a fantastic read and absolutely kind of almost required reading if you're coming into 2022 with crypto on the mind. So thanks again for your time, Thomas. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thanks everyone for joining me on this show and for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe and review on your podcast platform of choice, and we'll make sure we take you right to the edge of the crypto frontier. And remember, you can learn more about all things crypto by visiting kraken.com/learn. Until next time, I've been Jonathan Miller, and this has been the Crypto Frontier.